Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, there have been a few to choose from, but Monday night was easily the worst loss of the year for the Lakers. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. Always free, never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube, pushing 9,000 subscribers. Thank you to everybody for your support there. That's where you go to get the podcast a little early, particularly on non-game nights. We post it there before the audio product. And if you're a person, let's say you gotta wake up early, to get to work, you know, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, the early shift. You knock off, you go to bed about 9:40. You're feeling real good about the Lakers coming in, winning 5 of 6, taking it to the Indiana Pacers. They're up 17, Andy. You got to clock in early. You figure, I'm going to bed. This game's a wrap. That person's going to be very disappointed when they wake up in the morning and listen to this show.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers lose this game 116-115 to the Pacers. They were up 17 with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They were up 11 points with about 4.5 minutes remaining. They were up 6 points with about 3 minutes remaining. Brian, you can probably tell where this trend is.
Yeah, you know how many points there were at the end, Andy?
Down -1. Down one. Pacers scored 14 points over the last 3.5 minutes. The execution on both ends, the longer this fourth quarter went along, was just abysmal. They just were terrible stopping the Pacers. They had 32 points in this game, which was their highest scoring quarter. The Lakers had 22 points, which was their lowest scoring quarter. And what made a lot of this worse, you know, beyond just the heartbreak of that wild scramble at the end that left Andrew Nembhard wide open for a three that he hits at the buzzer, you know, the whole Googling who the F is Andrew Nembhard for a lot of people.
No, he's on my fantasy team. It's a very deep.
Okay. League. Other than dorks in a super deep, really competitive fantasy league, I think the average person is Googling who the F is Andrew Nembhard. You know, he's a second round rookie this year. He's having a nice season. And If the Lakers did not know this, he is a 40% three-point shooter on the year.
They know it now.
But this was also a game where you could, and I'm sure we'll get into this, you could tell the Lakers were very excited and very into what they thought was a win. Basically, in hand, they were celebrating a lot in the second half of this game, very exuberant at what they thought was going down. And if this sub-500 team was not aware before this game about the potential dangers of burying prematurely an opponent that actually has been better than them this season, I'd like to think they know it now.
Well, look, it's funny. I mean, they weren't arrogant in like Harlem Globetrotters, you know, like confetti in a bucket kind of way. But like, they just stopped playing. Like, they stopped doing the things that got them the lead. They stopped playing aggressively. They stopped defending aggressively.
They didn't move the ball as well.
They didn't move the ball in the fourth quarter. Indiana came up with better ways to get in the way of Anthony Davis, you know, who only had 2 shots in the fourth quarter. But it was kind of a different deal with this one. This didn't feel as much like Anthony Davis not asserting himself so much as it was the Lakers not figuring out better ways to get him involved. And also, you know, they're blitzing, you know, on the high post when Davis gets the ball, they're blitzing that pick and roll. This is stuff that Darvin talked about after the game. Those are moments you need other guys to make shots. And LeBron, for example, was 2 of 8 in the fourth quarter. And so, you know, the second one, the two, looked like it was going to be a bucket. This is late in the game. Looked like it was going to be a bucket that gave the Lakers enough of a cushion to squeak out of this one. But, I mean, we'll get to this last second shot. Like you mentioned, kind of a microcosm of what cost them the game. But before we do, like this was, I'm sure the same, set to call this easily their best win of the season, their most impressive win. Indiana came in 3 games over .500, fourth in the East. And the Lakers, again, up 17 in the fourth quarter. I'm sitting here like going, huh, you know, 5 out of 6 against bad teams. But hey, now they beat a pretty good one, or at least a better one, by a good margin. Maybe there is something percolating here. It went from their best win to their worst loss in about the time it took me to think about this stuff for tonight's show.
Well, over the course, like I said, of 10 minutes in the fourth quarter, where they went from up 17 to losing. And look, you know, I tweeted out during this game at Cam Brothers that Russell Westbrook's second half energy was 100%. I got your Miles Turner and Buddy Hield right here, friendo, because Russ put on a show in the second half. I mean, there were some plays where he was flat out spectacular as a scorer and as a distributor, and frankly, as an entertainer. You know, I mean, Russ was rocking every baby. He was doing every dance, and
he took actual babies, Andy, from the first three rows of the Crypto.com Arena crowd and rocked them.
Yeah. On a related note, Russ is getting a visit from Child Protective Services. You can't do that. But you know, I'm not going to lie. I was getting into every single one of those babies getting rocked and every single shimmy and every single dance. Like, I was having a blast with it because I also thought they were going to win this game. But here's the deal. Doesn't matter what I do on my couch watching this game. You know, similar to how we talk about, you know, fans when they say we can't get ahead of this, we got to play one game at a time, can't look ahead to a championship. You can do whatever the hell you want.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Reserve a spot on Figueroa 10 months in advance if you want. It doesn't actually affect Jack Bleep that goes on during the season. Do what you want. They, however, the guys on the court, they need to be cognizant of what's actually happening. And, you know, it was startling to watch this, and I imagine startling for them to be dealing with it in real time. And, you know, all of a sudden recognizing, hey, this backcourt with Tyrese Haliburton and Benedict Mathurin, we're suddenly unable to stop anything they're doing. All of a sudden we can't get to any rebound. We can't get to anything.
It was bad. And, you know, 7-11, difficult schedule coming up. Got Portland coming in on Wednesday. And
maybe without Damian Lillard, but
you then go out on the road basically until like the second week of January. They are barely at home for any of that. And I'm not sure you've noticed, Andy, the record outside of the crypt is not good.
Well, mostly go to San Antonio.
unless you're playing San Antonio. So the difference when you're trying to dig out of a hole in a really competitive conference, big difference between 8-11 and 7-12. When mm-hmm. you know, this is one of the first ones, you know, the Sacramento game is another example, but like this one especially, they really gave this one up. And that final play really was a microcosm of where things went wrong for them through the entire fourth quarter. So let's do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts across the US, the UK, Canada, coming soon to Australia. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget. But book an SUV or minivan for a family road trip, a pickup truck for some bulky errands, test drive that new electric vehicle you've been having thoughts about, you know, maybe does this fit into my lifestyle, or just an affordable economy car. If you're on a budget and you need to get from point A to point B, like you just want to drive around mad because the Lakers blew a 17-point lead against the Pacers and, you know, you can't be in your house any longer. Turo will help you out. They can even many times just deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, condition, and exclusions apply. Turo.com.
So you mentioned it, Andy, in the first segment. Andrew Nembhard, who had been the starting point guard for a significant part of the season, he had banged his knee up a little bit. That's why Neesmith had been starting. So no stranger to floor time. He hits the game-winning shot. But you go back and you watch the sequence, and I'm kind of watching it and I go, and you're just like, huh, Miles Turner, like, whoa, he's way too wide open. Turner, like, had a wide open three and missed. So you're like, that's not good. But he missed. But then they give up the offensive rebound. You're like, well, that's not good either. And then you're like, the pass is made out to Nembhard, and you're just like, well, oh my God, well, he shouldn't be so wide open either. And, you know, you heard LeBron talk about it after the game. Like they screwed that play up from the beginning. And so their defensive discipline broke down in a way where everybody was sort of out of position from the jump. You know, I think the initial mistake LeBron was talking about was Russ getting sucked down in their action. And you had two guys on Mathurin and nobody then on Turner. Russ tried to close, was there. You had Schroeder kind of just watching the play, which is why Halliburton was able to get the offensive rebound because Schroeder didn't bother putting a body on him. And then LeBron, who went down to rebound the ball, which is okay, fine, followed by Nembhard, didn't go back out to realize. And you could tell he realized that when Halliburton put the ball on the floor, he was reading where he was going with the ball. And before the pass was even made, he could tell where Halliburton was going. And he also could tell he was too far away to do anything about it. And it was just the whole sequence was bad.
Yeah. I tweeted out at Cam Brothers that on that last, the final shot by Nembhard, I thought LeBron got caught ball watching. And I thought that he knew it at the end. He talked afterwards, and I saw, you know, there was some reaction on Twitter to this, that he was trying to watch somebody down low. Like he thought AD had two people to protect and, you know, in that wild scramble. And when I say ball watching, I don't mean napping necessarily or doing nothing. I mean, literally watching where the ball was and not watching everything else happening. Because in that moment, if you give up, let's just say you give up a wide open dunk, at worst, you're going to overtime. The one thing you can't give up is a three, because then it's over. And at that point, because Russ was the next closest person to Nembhard, but he was actually guarding somebody. So Russ could not leave his guy to go to Nembhard because he was actually, I don't remember which guy it was, but he was guarding a shooter. I don't remember off the top of my head who he was. LeBron at that point was too far from Nembhard, but not, I think, really dedicated enough to putting a body on somebody that he would have caught stopping halfway. Anyway. Like, I agree with you. He got caught ball watching again. I don't even mean it like, because, and maybe I should have been more clear about this in my tweet. Ball watching can sometimes have like a connotation of either laziness or indifference. And that's not what I meant. I meant it in the most literal sense. I think he got so caught up in where the ball was, he just forgot the entire sequence. And it was a rough fourth quarter for LeBron anyway. Yeah. So I can see where people thought that I was piling on. And again, maybe I should have been more specific in that tweet. But he did leave the guy open. I don't think there's any way around it.
And like I said, I think you could tell he realized the problem about a heartbeat before Halliburton made the pass. I agree with you. He's completely, or whatever terminology you want to use, he was late getting back. The guy who he was boxing out had popped back out to the three-point line because that's where they needed to take a shot. but didn't need to actually. That's where they, you know, the most damaging shot was, and that's where he could get open. It's not like Nebhard is going to stand there, like, but the where I think they went wrong from the beginning. So you are scrambling to try to figure out, okay, who's, wait, who's got this guy here? Have we picked up? Is everybody accounted for here? Because from the moment the play started, the Lakers overcommitted to one player and undercommitted to another, gave up a wide open shot. And then when you give up the offensive rebound, now you're really screwed up because people have moved on trying to find a body, whatever. The ball goes right back out to the top of the key. And you can tell Schroeder just didn't think the ball was coming back out to him. But it's not like, Andy, the offensive glass was a problem for them the entire fourth quarter. So you would think a little more attention to it on the game's final play might be worth it. LeBron, you know, it looked, I mean, I could have this wrong in terms of like what is, you know, I'm not a basketball coach, and it looked like Westbrook made the initial mistake. Schroeder made a mistake there. LeBron made a mistake there.
I think Reeves might have made a mistake in the initial sequence too.
Well, Reeves was went over the Turner screen to stay on heeled. And the one guy in this entire thing that I know you don't leave by himself or go under the screen is on Buddy Hield. So I'm okay with what Reeves did. But it's just, again, it's just, it reminded me of all the mistakes. You give up that offensive rebound. Okay, maybe if it was the first or second one through the entire quarter, it wasn't. The Lakers were terrible on the glass in the fourth.
Well, I was going to say, to your point, they gave up four offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter, and the Lakers out-rebounded Indiana 57-49 on the game. For the majority of this game, they owned the glass, and it wasn't even close. Fourth quarter, they got out-rebounded 14-10. And you are correct. The glass was a big, big difference in that fourth quarter. Just, again, just another element of how every part of their execution, no matter where you want to put it, just was crap. It was crap down the stretch. And it got progressively worse.
Right. I mean, like, you got to score. And, you know, 32 points for the Pistons in the fourth. For the Pacers. Is too much. Like, that you want to be better than that. But that's essentially in line with what Indiana scored the entire game. 29, 27, 28, 32. Okay. You don't want your highest scoring points against quarter to be the fourth, but typically teams, you know, when they get a big lead, get a little bit loose, you have a couple, that kind of stuff's going to happen. And it wasn't a great, Lakers went 32, 30, 31, 22. Like, they stopped scoring. And any one of those, you know, even little stuff, AD missed a free throw down the stretch. And, you know, that would have put the Lakers in a position where they only have to defend the three, you know, in theory. You know, it could have been up three there at the end. And, you know, really they got lucky, Andy, in a couple sequences even leading up to it where they had trouble on the glass, where Indiana, like,
Indiana had a third chance. They had a third chance opportunity, and gravity just wasn't cooperating.
Yeah, you know, it was like that again. I'm watching that going, man, the basketball gods really want the Lakers to get back in this. But,
well, they care about the ratings in the playoffs too.
Absolutely. So, you know, I want to talk about LeBron here in a second, not just how he played in down the stretch, but tweaked an ankle in the first half of the game on
first quarter, I believe.
On Monday, and you know, he finished the game, which isn't unusual, but you know, these things are starting to pile up. But like, just to kind of wrap up on this, it's not the teams don't make similar mistakes the Lakers made in this game. Dennis Schroeder is not the first person who got caught at the top of the three-point line where offensive rebounds typically don't go. You know, in a last second game, like last part of a game where you want to see what the human nature, Andy, is. You want to see like, oh, okay, he missed. Did we win? You know, like Schroeder's not the first person to make that mistake. LeBron isn't the first person to just react, a second late, realizing that the guy that I think was behind me is not there anymore. You know, Westbrook's not the first person to go the wrong way on a screen. But when you're 7-11 and you need, you can't let mistakes like that happen. You have to finish the game because you haven't won enough. It's not even an arrogance thing. It's like just you can't let these things get away. You have to finish every single one of them. They got caught.
Yeah. And it hurts, man. Like, this game hurts. I mean, whether you're talking about from the perspective of a Laker fan or if you're talking about from the perspective of those guys in the locker room, who everybody you heard talk afterwards, Darvin Ham, LeBron, Russ, those are the guys I heard, but I'm sure others, you could feel how they know this one is bad. Yeah. Like, this one hurt them as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing better. There's no question they're playing better. But 2-10 does not leave you a lot of space for this, what we saw on Monday. Let's talk about LeBron. Tweaked that ankle, said it hurt more after than it did before. What exactly does that mean? Derek Fisher said some interesting stuff on the Spectrum post game. So we'll do all that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by LinkedIn. These days, every potential new hire feels like a high-stakes wager for your small business, and you want to be 100% certain you have access to the best qualified candidates available, and that's why you got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. Helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Easy to lay out all the information about your business, the work environment that you want to foster, the projects that you do, and from there, add the job that you're looking to fill and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can prioritize who you want to interview and hire. Small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
So it was interesting, Andy. Derek Fisher, after the game, Derek, who, by the way, played, you know, deep into his 30s. So the man knows a little bit about, you know, being an old fella in this league. He noted that, you know, even though LeBron comes back, 2 weeks of rest, you know, while he's waiting for his groin to heal, the Lakers played 3 games in 4 nights with a travel day in between. So, so even though LeBron sat one of those games, he's still on the road, he's still traveling, and he's still playing multiple games in a relatively compressed period. That sneaks up on you. You know, not just from an injury standpoint, but he was talking about maybe a little bit of fatigue in the fourth quarter. Maybe your body's not quite built up as much as it was. And what I thought was just interesting about all of these things is kind of Fish very tactfully making the point that age is a larger consideration, mileage, a larger consideration, perhaps in ways that LeBron or the Lakers didn't fully consider before the season or didn't account for before the season. Perhaps
that's insane to me if that's actually the case.
I mean, I'm adding the part about the Lakers. Like, it was like, I'm not sure based on what he was saying, it just like the holistic picture of what it is for LeBron to be doing what he's doing at the age that he's doing it at. There are just lots of little ways that the age thing creeps up. And it seems this is the part I'm adding, that the Lakers may not have thought this all the way through, based on the team that they put around him.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because the team they put around LeBron is structured in part so imbalanced because of the Westbrook trade. Mm-hmm. And the Westbrook trade was something that, by all accounts and reports, LeBron wanted. And you and I have never bought into the narrative that this is something that LeBron and AD and Clutch bullied Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss into. You know, they had no interest in bringing in a third superstar on their own. And, you know, they had to be cajoled into this. You know, even if Pelinka preferred you know, maybe 60-40, 65-35 Buddy Hield. I can believe that. I do not believe that Westbrook is something that they did not look at with excitement, because otherwise, if they didn't, that's a worse decision to bring him in anyway than to just misjudge it. But anyway, that is part of the reason this roster is so imbalanced, and it is hard to find that help for LeBron now because of the space that Russ takes up on the salary cap and the players that they moved out for him. But at the same time, though, you have to think that they are somewhat cognizant of this because they've been reluctant to go all in and to like go all in after Russ and to just continue firing bullet, the way you saw them do with Kobe pre-Achilles tear. You know, they were willing to do every single move possible, attach picks to Luke Walton and to Derek Fisher, to bring in Ramon Sessions and Jordan Hill, and try to do whatever it took for Kobe. And granted, Kobe's Kobe, LeBron is LeBron. Kobe meant things to the Lakers that LeBron simply never will. But at the same time, though, they have not treated it like it's an emergency. So you wonder if there has been an element of trying to have their cake and eat it too, with having LeBron on the roster for relevancy and hopefully for competitiveness, but also a recognition of, we don't know if we're going to go much further with him. So we don't know how much we want actually, or how long the window will remain open. So therefore, yeah, we got to thread this needle really damn carefully, as opposed to just, it's LeBron. We want to win with him. We will do whatever it takes and figure out the rest later.
It's, of course, we asked this question on a night, not unintentionally, that Buddy Hield and Miles Turner were in town. And, you know, the more reporting this time from David Menneman at ESPN, which sort of confirms a lot of what was there from Sam Amick and Shams at The Athletic about how close the Lakers have been, you know, got to making that deal. I think it was The Athletic guys called it like the 1 yard line, like something.
Remember, they delayed that. They delayed the Rob Pelinka press conference before training camp because I think they thought they were making a deal.
And so, what kind of spooked them? Whether it was the belief that they could do better, whether it was belief that they needed to do better, whether it was belief that, you know, LeBron could carry them a little longer while they look behind with Dornum. I think to some degree, Pelinka is sort of paralyzed by the position that he has put the team in, where there aren't a lot of clear options and there's no obvious let's go trade for Anthony Davis deal out there. There's nothing that seems like the clear winner trade out there. There's no question the Lakers would be better with Hield and Turner this year. The record would be better with Hield and Turner than it currently is. They would not be 7-12, I think, had they started the year with those guys.
I wanted them to make the deal before the season.
Absolutely. You absolutely did.
And I'm not even a huge Buddy Hield fan, but no.
The other relevant question, though, is, okay, they'd be better than 7-12. Would they be 12-7? Because that is sort of a meaningful distinction versus would they be, you know, 8-9 or 9-8 with sort of the future of being kind of 42-40 or 42, 43, 44 wins. And that's kind of the future they've locked themselves into. There's no good answer to this question because they've put themselves into this position. But I do think that you can make the argument that you were making about what they thought about LeBron is just as viable as the one where you think that they thought LeBron could an AD could carry them. We wanted to see if it works with Westbrook, that there's an ego argument, that they wanted to see if you could get that trade validated, if the Westbrook could play his way into value. There are a thousand different interpretations, I think, that people could make and defend. I'm not saying I agree with all of them. I'm just saying you can defend a lot of different things just based on how this team has been run.
Yeah, I mean, look, for what it's worth, the ego validation incentive behind not making a deal is the one that I believe in the least. Mm-hmm. And this, I'm saying this as somebody that I think listeners know by now, not a huge booster of this front office, but I am, of all the reasons, the idea that Rob Pelinka doesn't want to admit that he was wrong, Jeannie doesn't want to admit that she was wrong, the Rambi don't want to admit they were wrong, so they've been running this thing out. That's the one I buy the least.
Fair enough.
But it's interesting, though. You mentioned before, like, the idea of, you know, maybe LeBron could carry them for a little while, and that could buy them some time.
To try to find that deal that really could be the good one.
Right. And there is probably some level of truth to that, no matter how you parse it, just the if for no other reason than they're clearly trying to be surgical about this. But you also wonder if it's not even so much a matter of LeBron could carry them. It's them wondering, we got to find enough help for LeBron. You know what I mean? Like, is whatever deal we make, is that enough help for him?
Sure.
Because he used to require less. And now we know he needs more. And as great as AD has been over like the last few weeks, you also know that every time he falls down, you picture the absolute worst thing happening.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, it's kind of apropos heading into this game, Benedict Mathurin, the Pacers rookie, who's right now a strong candidate for both Sixth Man of the Year and Rookie of the Year. He had a quote. I saw at Legion Hoops put this out. I don't know who he said this to, but quote, "I don't think anybody is better than me. LeBron is going to have to show me that he's better than me." And obviously this one game does not mean that Benedict Mathurin is better than LeBron, but in this game, Benedict Mathurin had a better game than LeBron. So, I mean,
23 points, 8 rebounds, had an assist.
You know, props to him for, you know, backing up some pretty bold talk. But I was reminded of that just in thinking about, like, you cannot count on LeBron to carry you in ways that typically you build a team around. Like, when you choose to build a team around a certain player, it is with the idea of you're trying to put the best team around him, but he's still the guy that can bring you home. You know, like, there was that belief with Kobe all the way up to the Achilles, even as you were looking to get him more help. And Kobe still, even with some signs of relative decline, still was playing at a pretty damn high level, you know, before that Achilles tear. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder how much they truly believe LeBron can do that, which makes the calculus for whatever trade they want to make that much more complicated.
Yeah.
But also makes the calculus of, do we really want to not have him on this team? Because we're afraid to not be relevant that way.
I think what you were talking about in terms of having their cake and eating it too, they're looking for that perfect thing. They're looking for that perfect out, mm-hmm. In a lot of ways. It just doesn't exist. But we'll quit on this, because the other part of this that is interesting, I don't want to make too much of it because I don't want to start painting Indiana as a contender or any of these other things. But there still seems to be this perception that the Lakers can make this trade whenever they want, that it's just out there. They can do it whenever they can. There is a point at which Indiana, who are, again, currently fourth in the Eastern Conference, granted, 14 wins, Milwaukee is second. 10 wins, Miami is 10th. So with 12 wins, Indiana is only really two games ahead of 10th, in at least in terms of wins in the East. Like, they could fall out quickly. We're seeing what, you know, what Utah is doing with a little slump in the West. They're already, you know, down to 9th, I think, in the conference because they lost again on Monday. So stuff can turn quickly. But Indiana, like, if they keep winning, there's a good chance they just say, you know what, we're too far away from the Wembanyama sweepstakes anyway. We're currently a solid playoff team with young players who could, you know, benefit from this experience and all this other stuff. Maybe we don't make this trade for Russell Westbrook. So in losing this game, there is at least a chance that the Lakers in a small way have made it harder to execute a Buddy Hield Miles Turner deal later on. So I just want to leave people with that.
Yeah. I mean, their owner, Herb Simon, is almost 90 years old and has never believed in tanking. Never. And old people only get more stubborn as they age.
I know. I mean, I work with you every day, and it's like every day you're like, no, we got to do it this way. Rah, rah, rah. Where's my oatmeal? Mm-hmm. And it's tough. It's tough. But thank you for your service in the Korean War. It was much appreciated. All right. So, yeah, Wednesday, they really need to win that one. If they need to win this one, they really need to win that one. And tough opponent in the Portland Trailblazers, a gimpy LeBron. But they should, at the very least, come back with a strong sense of purpose after what happened on Monday. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to watch the show a little early. See everybody on Tuesday.